Morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us this morning. If you're joining us online, also, thank you. My name is Nate Gottschall. I've been the student pastor here for just over 5 years, which is pretty crazy to think about. Actually, I've been at North Point ever since 2014. That's when I came here for college. In college, I studied human development and family studies, which is UNL's version of social work, because they're not really... It's fine. So after I graduated, I got a job in social work, the social work field, for like, a couple of years. And then this position opened up. Honestly, this youth ministry was my dream job, so I feel very blessed that I got this job. But as soon as I got this job, I thought to myself, I think this is going to be a long-term stay. So I felt confident to look for a house. And I got a house. I was excited about getting a house for many reasons, but one of them was I had heard that buying a house was a good investment and that my house is probably going to go up in value. So what I put in, actually I'm going to get back more, is the hope, right? And you don't have to be a financial expert to understand good investments, bad investments. We know good investment, what you put in, you're going to get more. Bad investment, what you put in, you're going to get either nothing or you're going to get less than what you put in. Now, we all know that. And we all want to make good investments. Sadly, I would say all of us in this room make a really bad investment, if not every day, pretty close to every day. Make a bad investment. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about worry. I think we invest energy, we invest our attention in worry, and we get nothing back in return. It's a really bad investment. And Jesus actually addresses this bad investment of worry in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. That's what we're going through, if you got a Bible, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And we're going to look at this question. How do we approach worry? Hey, it comes up in all of our lives. How do we approach worry? Now, this teaching of Jesus comes from his Sermon on the Mount, where he's teaching about what the kingdom of God is like. Those who are part of the kingdom, what do they value? And he's taught over fasting, he's taught over hate, he's taught over prayer, loving your enemies. And right before our passage today, he was teaching about money and values. Do we seek values defined as the world would say, or do we seek the value or seek values the way God defines what's valuable? And then he concludes with a statement in verse 24 that you cannot serve both God and money, and so you have to choose. Are you going to trust in God, or are you going to trust in money? And if you choose to put your trust in God, there's an application that follows, and this is where we pick up in verse 25. Jesus says, therefore, if you're putting your trust in God, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. All right, boom, let's stop right there, okay? We started with the question, how do we approach worry? Well, look, in the first 8 words, it looks like we have our answer. Just don't, guys, come on. Just don't worry. It's that simple. Worship band, you can come up and... No, I'm just kidding. Okay, obviously, God knows there's a lot more to not worrying, so let's actually see what he has to say. Now, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Okay, so we do see off the bat, to answer our question about how our approach worry, that Jesus doesn't want us to worry about our life. He brings up worry right after he talks about money. Why do you think that is? I'd say it's because when we choose to prioritize God, we will be tempted to worry about our other priorities not being met. Okay, so see if this is relatable. You have a thought, you think God wants me to be generous to this organization, to this person. But if I give this amount, then gosh, what if something happens in my house and then I have to pay for that. I don't have the money for it. Or what if my kid gets hurt and now I got a medical bill? Or maybe you're thinking like, gosh, I know God wants me to give to this person, but if I do that, then, oh man, that's really going to ruin the plans that I kind of had earlier or later this month. I don't know if I can do that. See, when we prioritize God, we're tempted to worry that other things we prioritize are not going to be taken care of. Now, Jesus, in the beginning of this passage, brings up our most basic needs of food, water, clothing. But the principle that he's about to teach us applies to much more. And he challenges us with this question: is not life more than these things? Is not life more than what you worry about? And of course we say, yeah, life is way more than that. Of course I know that, Jesus. But if you are like me, which by the way, I am a worrier. That's why I chose this passage, because I struggle with this, and this has been an impactful passage for my life. I worry. So if you're like me, and when you start worrying, sometimes it's really hard to see past it, because you're focused on what if, and I got to try to find a way to figure this out, and it's hard to see out of that. And so we know that, oh yeah, life is more than that. I'm wondering for you guys, what would Jesus ask you? What are you most worried about on a consistent basis? Would he say to you, isn't life more than your savings account? Isn't life more than your kids? Isn't life more than your reputation? Isn't life more than your future? Isn't life more than your grades? What would Jesus ask you? And let's let Jesus speak into that. Continuing in verse 26, he makes a comparison. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So if we look at the birds, obviously they are not farming. They're not sitting in their combines going along with a piece of straw in their mouth listening to Kenny Chesney. That was really stereotypical. But you know what? I'm from rural Nebraska. I can say that. It's fine. Okay, they're not doing all this work to farm. They're not worried about it. But yet, God provides for them. He says, are you not more valuable than the birds? Of course you are. You're made in God's image. You are more valuable than the birds. Now, when we choose to trust God, we're choosing to trust in a Father. That's what he brings up here. Your heavenly Father feeds them. That's what he's pointing out here. What's the principle he's pointing out is that God cares for you. And because of that, God's going to take care of you. It's the principle he's teaching right here. God's going to take care of you. Now, I think it's also important to point out that like maybe the father and child relationship, the child doesn't always understand how the parent is taking care of them. They might not get it. I think how God takes care of us, we may not understand. We might not like how it looks. It's not maybe what we thought it should look like. But nonetheless, we have this promise that God will take care of us. Now, from a very practical perspective, Jesus says this next in verse 27. He says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? All right, this is a rhetorical question saying, you can't add anything by worrying, right? It doesn't do us any good. It only takes away from us, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm alone, but I've never heard anyone be like, man, I loved worrying all weekend for this. Like, that was so great. Or, geez, this week, I've worried the whole time, and 10 out of 10, guys, like, would recommend. It was awesome. No, we don't hear that. We all know it. That doesn't make sense, because worry doesn't give us anything. It doesn't add. It's a bad investment. And Jesus doesn't want that for our life. He continues, makes another comparison in verse 28 through 30. He says, why are you anxious about clothing? He talked about food, now he's talking about clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They're not working hard for how they look. And yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Okay, very similar point as before. Are we not more valuable than plant life? If God will take care of the plant life, then he's going to take care of you. Same principle. God loves you, he's going to take care of you. One thing I want to point out in this passage, one thing I love about it is it actually points to how God has already provided for us. And one thing that a lot of us worry about, have you ever worried about how you look before? Have you ever not liked how you look before? I have. Okay, what I want you to see in this passage is that you can add, or nothing that you add to yourself can make you look any more amazing than as you are created by God. Okay, he says, look at the lilies. You think of a flower. You think of the natural beauty that God has given that. He says, not even the richest man to ever live, Solomon, all that he could put on himself, not even he, could compare to the natural beauty of God's creation. And this natural beauty is what each one of us is made with. Because God created us as he sees fit. He does not make mistakes. In Psalm 139, it says, we are knitted together in our mother's womb. You realize that that's detail work. God put intention and detail into how he made you. And there's nothing you can do to make yourself more beautiful than that. And so we're brought again with the message, do not worry. It's awesome. I also wish I could not be hungry, right? Okay, worry happens. It almost seems like we're still at this spot of, well, just don't. But Jesus gives us a little hint here at the end of verse 30 that our faith plays a role in our worrying. Faith in what, though? Well, so far he's spoken through examples, and now he's about to make it really clear. Verse 31 and 32. If I can find it, there it is. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So why could we stop worrying? Because we put our faith in our Father in heaven who cares for us, and is willing and able to provide. We stop worrying because we can put our faith in our God who cares for us and is willing and able to provide. We can trust him with our worries. This is a tough message. It's tough to do. But Jesus is asking us to trust him with everything that we worry about. Everything. He does want us to be free of worry. That's pretty clear. So anything from your performance in work to whether you're not going to be able to pay rent to your reputation, to your future, to your marriage, everything that we worry about, he's asking us to trust God with it. Now, before I trust anybody, I usually ask the question, is this person trustworthy? That seems like a decent question. Luckily, though, Andy, like 4 weeks ago, started like a 3-week mini-series in Luke about why can we trust God. So isn't that timely? Yeah, he talked about, number one, that God has power over nature because the storm was raging and Jesus was like, knock it off. And it stopped and it was calm. He had power over nature. And then he cast out a legion of demons and proved that he's got power over evil spirits. And he proved that he had power over illness when he healed the hemorrhaging woman. And then he even proved he had power over death when he brought back the little girl from death and brought her to life. He's shown his power. But God has shown his trustworthiness in an even greater way, in which both his power and his care for us is shown, right? Because this message that Jesus is teaching, it all falls apart if God doesn't care for us. And one of my favorite gospel verses is Romans 5, verse 8. It says this, that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love this verse because it speaks to God's incredible unconditional love for us. So that in my worst moments, like when I'm ignoring God, not acknowledging him, like he's not even a thought on my mind, or when I am willfully sinning against God, because that happens, I know what I'm doing is against his will and I still do it. Or when I'm super upset at God and I'm treating him super unfairly, like in my worst moments, God looks at me and says, I want you and I love you enough that I'm willing to go give my life for you. There's nothing that can overcome that. There's no greater love than that. Sadly, we reject that incredibly loving God, and all we earn for that is death and separation from God. That's the price to be paid for sin. But because Jesus wants us and loves us, he came to the earth to pay that price, to die on the cross and to be separated from God. He paid the debt that we owe to God. Now, he was buried, put in a tomb. On the third day, he came back from the dead. Why? Because he is God, and he has power over death. Just as we saw with the little girl, he raised her from the dead. This is the power that God has, okay? This is the Jesus that, in John 10, says, nobody can take my life from me. Let's get that straight. Jesus says, no one can take my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord, and I pick it up when I please. Who talks like that? Only someone with that authority, only God. And then he went ahead and did it, came back from the dead. And he went through all that suffering for us. He took that punishment on the cross. Why? So that anyone who believes in him and what he did could be restored to a relationship with him. So that we could be healed and be with him. He did it all because he cares for us. And so let me ask, if we have a God that we know his incredible power and authority, we have a God who we know cares about us so much, let me ask an obvious question. Can we trust him with our finances? And can we trust him with our family? And can we trust him with our future? Absolutely. But my question today was, how do we approach worry, not can we trust God? Now, trusting plays a role in it, but Jesus is about to answer our question in verse 33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, so trust, putting our trust in God, it's not passive. We're seeing that right here. Trusting in God is not passive, it's active. You know, if I was told that there is a, you know, active danger in this room, like there's a gas leak or something, and I trust that, I'm going to send all of us out of here, and I'm going to get out myself, because this is not a ship, and I don't care if the captain goes down with the ship, I'm not going down, okay? But there's going to be action with my trust. I'm not going to sit here and be like, okay, I trust you. Let's see what happens. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get us all to safety. There's action that comes along with trust. And so what I say is to trust God is to seek him out and to seek his ways. It's not just about avoiding worry. It's It's about seeking his ways and seeking him out. So here's how I'd answer our question of how do we approach worry. It's trusting God by going to him and following his word. What I mean by going to him is what, if you can catch yourself in your worry, talk to him about it. Bring up that worry to the Lord and then lean on scripture. Go to his word as, what would you have me do here, God? And then follow that. Another very famous verse about worry is Philippians 4:6, which says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Let's go to him with our worries. How do we approach worry? I'd say by trusting God, by going to him and following his word. Okay, obviously this is going to look different for lots of different situations. But I give us kind of three steps here on how we can do this. Okay, one would be talk to God. And I would ask him the question, why am I so worried about this? Why am I anxious about whatever it is? Because when you ask God that question and you really think about it, it's going to help you get to the root of what your real worry is. And then, number two, lean on scripture for direction. Follow that direction and then leave the rest to God, because we have a God and a Father who cares for us and is willing and able to provide. All right, so one of my biggest worries is whether I perform well enough in life or in my job, whatever it is. I worry about my performance, and I worry about what other people think. And in my better moments, because I don't do this all the time, but in my better moments, I'm able to talk to God about this. I'm able to recognize that, oh, I'm really not worried about what other people think. I'm really insecure about just being loved. I'm really just insecure about being enough. And I can rely on Romans 8, 38 to 39 that says, nothing in all creation, including my own sin, nothing can separate me from God's love that is in Christ Jesus. And so if I believe that truth, I can have confidence in God's love for me moving forward. I can focus on the task in front of me because I'm confident in God's love for me. That's how it plays out for me and my worries about performance. Okay, some of you guys, and I also worry about this. Man, I'm just the worst at worry. Some of us worry about finances as well. I mean, this passage is a perfect one to turn to. Talk to God first about it, about how you think he's calling you to be generous. Look at a passage like this that said he's going to provide for you all that you need. And then you can follow and trust him with the rest. Okay, we worry about our nation. We worry about just everything with our nation. But we can talk to God about that. And we can pray for our leaders. And we can follow God to the best of our ability and lead the rest up to him. Some of us worry about health, and we worry about safety. One thing I've thought about is I wonder if the disciples worried about their health and their safety as they were going out to share the gospel, knowing that their best friends were being brutally killed. I really do. I wonder, were they worried about what was going to happen to them? And I don't know that for sure. But what I do know is that they believed in the resurrection. And they believed that whatever happens, even in death, that God holds them securely. And he will hold them for all eternity. And so they were able to go forward and carry out their mission. Guys, we worry about a lot of things. We do. We worry about kids, future, lots. But we have a Heavenly Father who cares about us and he knows what we need. So I'm challenging us, when we catch ourselves in worry, to go to him in prayer. Start there, number one. Go to him in prayer. Process, look to scripture, leave the rest up to God. This section that Jesus teaches is concluded with a proverb from him. Verse 34 says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." All right. Every day there's going to be things that trouble us. Every day there's going to be things that we can worry about. Let's take them one at a time, trusting God with each one of them. Because you know what else worry does? We talked about it just a little bit earlier. Worry takes us away from good things in the moment. It takes us away from our work performance. It takes us away from being able to pour into relationships in front of us. It takes us away from communing with God when we're worried about something else, doesn't it? It sure doesn't help us with these things. But God wants that worry to be gone so that we can focus on what's in front of us, all right? I love the game of Spikeball. I love it so much that I've played it for a long time and my shoulder is now hurt, I think, because of Spikeball. It's just my theory. Anyway, this is the game. That's for my students that are playing it on our summer camp. I'm better than all of them. You can ask them, right, guys? You can ask them. They know. So in the game of Spikeball, it's 2 versus 2, and it's kind of like volleyball, except for instead of hitting the ball over the net, you bounce it off the net. You don't want the ball to hit the ground, okay? If you do, you lose the point. So sometimes what happens is that I play with somebody who's a beginner or someone that I don't necessarily trust that they're going to make the play. And so what I do is I will, like, shade a little bit to their area because it's like, I don't know if they're going to make the play, and I kind of want to be there because I don't want to lose the point because I'm kind of competitive, which is fine. So I'll shade a little bit that way. What happens sometimes, though, is we still lose the point, and it's not their fault. It's because I went to my area that I wasn't paying attention to, and so we still lose the point, and it was my fault. It's kind of embarrassing. Now, if I have somebody that I'm playing with that I'm like, oh, yeah, they've been playing for years, like, I trust them, I'm not worried about their spot. No, I'm in my athletic stance like my coach has taught me, and I'm ready for whatever's coming to my area. I'm ready for it. I'm present to my spot. Guys, in the same way, God wants us in our lives to be present to what he wants to do for us in the moment. He wants us to be free from worry so that we can live on mission, attuned to what he would have us do. That sounds like a pretty good life, right? That's the kind of life God wants for us, to be free from worry so we can live on mission and we can live abiding in his love. Sounds great. And it's easier said than done. We all know that. But I would say we can start moving towards this type of life when we follow Jesus' teaching on worry. How do we approach worry? By trusting God, by going to him, and by following his word. Let's pray. Jesus, one, I thank you so much for giving us your word so that we may know you, we may know your perfect plan, your perfect love, and we may know about ourselves. Father, would you please give us the wisdom to discern when we are worrying, what we're truly worrying about. Help us to go to you, Lord, in those moments. To trust that you are a father who cares so we can go to you and we can rely on the direction you give us. Thank you for being a God who cares. Help us put our faith in you. In your name I pray. Amen.